You have your Bibles with you this morning. I hope so. Look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. I want to begin in verse 26. You recognize these words as Gabriel's announcement to Mary about the birth of Jesus, about the confession, Gabriel's confession of Jesus, of who He was. And I want you to listen to the Word of God, to these familiar words to most all of us in this room. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at that saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, 'Mary, don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus. You will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?'" She wasn't married. "The angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and she's now in the sixth month for her who was called barren.' And the angel looked at Mary and says, 'Mary, don't you ever forget, for with God nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord,'" she's referring to herself, "'let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." What's Gabriel's Christmas confession? In other words, what can we learn from what Gabriel told Mary that'll help you and I practice what's on these buttons right here? Of saying Merry Christmas, of proclaiming the fact that Jesus is Lord. Well, the Bible says that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to Mary. Now, in the English language, we roll over that word sent. We've heard it all of our lives. What's the difference in this word? Well, the difference in this word in the Greek language is it has the word, the word really is the word for apostle. And it means more than you just send. You send with a specific action to go to someone to tell them something specifically. In other words, it's not a general send like we do a mass mailing on email. This is mailed, this is sent directly to a person with a specific message to be said. And in this case, the word used for apostle here, the word sent, means sent from God. Gabriel had previously been to Zechariah, proclaiming to him that despite their old age, Elizabeth would have a son, not just any son, but Elizabeth's son would be called John, and he would be the forerunner, the preparer of the Messiah, the Christos, Jesus himself. And now in that little obscure town of Bethlehem, known only as the home base for 18 of the 24 priests, that place, little place, was to become the birthplace of the Son of God. But what did Mary say? I know I just read it, but I mean, what did he say to Mary? And what do we take out of what we learned today of what we can do to practice the confession of Gabriel throughout this Christmas season? I believe there are four things, specific things, that the angel Gabriel was sent from Mary to tell her. And this morning, let's just let this message and these next few messages about Advent, they're designed to exhort the body. They are written to exhort and build up the body of Christ. They're written to encourage us this Christmas season. Because we have so many distractions around us. The devil's number one thing is he don't want you to experience Christmas. He wants you to get wrapped up in all of us, in the commercialization of Christmas, the happy holidays, if you please, and forget the Merry Christmas. But this little group in this room today can have such a significant impact on our community when we simply mention the words, as Gabriel is going to say to Mary, Merry Christmas, and Jesus Christ is Lord. Here's the first thing that Gabriel said to Mary. Rejoice. Rejoice. It's a common word you've heard. You hear it a lot at Christmas. The sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man. The virgin's name was Mary. And he said, rejoice, highly favored one. Can you imagine being in the favor of God? You are, folks. When Elizabeth was 6 months old and pregnant with John, God sent Gabriel on another mission to a young woman in that little obscure village of Nazareth. Let me tell you something about Nazareth. Nazareth was located in the hills of southern Galilee, about 15 miles west of the Sea of Galilee and about 20 miles east of the Mediterranean Sea. In the New Testament times, Nazareth was in an insignificant village of approximately less than 2,000 people. It is very unlikely that the world would have selected someone from such a remote place to be the mother of the Messiah. But God did. I'm so glad God chose the ordinary folks. Just like me and you, you know? He said he was a virgin. The word virgin in the Greek New Testament is the word parthenos. No, that's not Parthenon, that's parthenos. And parthenos in the New Testament Greek, in what we call koine or family Greek, denotes a young unmarried girl. And in secular Greek, the word actually meant a young girl somewhere close to age, give or take 13 or 14, who had been totally abstinent. The Hebrew uses the word alma, refers to the same type female. A young girl, 13, 14. And then Mary, the Bible says, was betrothed to Joseph. She was pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Well, the word betrothal actually comes from Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 23 and following. It describes the engagement, the result of a public ceremony before witnesses by which a man and a woman were legally considered married, but they did not live or sleep together. At this stage of the marriage, the betrothal, the dowry, that is the price for the bride, had already been paid, be it in sheep, cattle, or food, and the man had legal responsibility to the woman. The engagement, this betrothal, could only be broken by divorce. And the engagement, the betrothal, usually lasted about 1 year, with the girl always living with her parents. And often the girl was really 13, 12, 14 years old. So you see, the betrothal was more, even more so than the engagement of this day and time. So Gabriel said to Mary, rejoice. I love that word in the Greek. The first person singular is the word Cairo, not the city or anything. Cairo. It means joy. The root of that word is charis, which we translate grace. And then the Greek says, rejoice. In other words, what's Gabriel saying to Mary? Rejoice. Have a new joy. A joy that's not perfect, no. But joy that is from God. Folks, the world can experience happiness. The world knows happiness. But only the child of God can know joy. Joy cannot describe happiness. Joy is that in the midst of everything going wrong, in the midst where the world is turned upside down over and over and over and over again, There is joy. Why? Because God is there. He is in control. So Gabriel told Mary to rejoice. So what about you and I? We live in a world today where our joy is stolen every day by the Satan and the demons of hell. Satan does not want you to be joyful this Christmas season. We live in a world in the midst of adversity. We live in a world today where people are losing their jobs, where finances are becoming not only more of a burden, even more than they ever have than we've seen in those living today, we see in this day and time. And yet we see so many Christians living defeated lives in their Christian walk. Gabriel came to Mary and he said to Mary, "Rejoice!" And now your pastor is coming to all of you in this house, not in the role of the angel, but just as pastor of a wonderful group of people, and he's proclaiming to you all this Christmas season, rejoice! God knows you got enough to worry about. God knows you've got stuff pulling you down on every side. God knows you've got adversity in your life. Mary was 13 years old. She was betrothed. How is she going to describe to Joseph what God's about to do? She didn't have to, folks. God took care of it. And you know something? God will just see to it. God will just see to it. Rejoice. Make sure this Christmas season, we hear from Gabriel. He said it to Mary, but he's saying it to all of us at Olive Springs. Rejoice when you get in the midst of town center or any of these other malls or strip malls or wherever you are to buy your gifts and whatever. And you're around people and it's just overwhelming people everywhere. Just go back and think of that one candle and say the word rejoice. Have your button on. Tell somebody Merry Christmas. Tell you what, it'll change this Advent season for you. If you make it a personal goal to the people that you go to, and I'm not talking about out of some spiritual holier-than-thou type attitude, just tell folks Merry Christmas. Help them to rejoice. You don't know what those folks in that store have even brought into that store. They may be the bah humbug, the Scrooge of Christmas. And you're walking up there, you're checking out your gifts or whatever, and you look back to them and say, Merry Christmas, and you just smile. That may be all it takes for that person to say, you know, there really is a nice person left in the world. And that person may be you. Rejoice. Just rejoice. Second thing Gabriel said, verses 29 and 30, don't be afraid. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. I mean, she's thinking, folks, can you imagine? 12, 13 years old, minding her own business, a godly woman. And yet she's minding her own business. All of a sudden, poof, there he is. Gabriel, an angel of God. What would you do? But the angel brought troubling or news to her in the beginning that was troubling because to that young Jewish girl, there's a verb here used in the Greek that's used a specific word that's used of the great distress that the angel's news brought to Mary. I mean, it's being terrified. We use the word phobeo in the Greek, phobia, where we get our word. It's a fear. Later in the Greek language, that word became known as the word for reverence and awe. But then, depending on its context, it creates terror. That's what it means. And Mary was afraid. She was troubled because she said, what have I done because the angel's come to me? What great sin? What's wrong? What's happening? And immediately the angel puts her at ease. He immediately says to her, Mary, don't be afraid. I brought you good news. Mary never dreamed she was anyone special. And when she heard that God was to favor her and to use her in a very special way, she was troubled. How could she, so ordinary, so humble, do anything special for God? And I know that's like most of you in this room feel. You're very humble. You're very loving. And you're saying, how can God use me? Well, maybe it's to somebody you visit in the hallway. Maybe it's to your own family. Maybe it's to someone right here in this congregation. Maybe it's to a total stranger out there somewhere. We live in a fearful world, folks. Crime rate is increasing. I could tell you story after story of crime in Cobb County that would stand the hair back on top of your head that happened in recent weeks right here in this community. Folks, we need to bring stability. We need to bring love back to our community. Satan is trying to destroy every bit of God's love in the church and every bit of God's love outside the church. Why? Because we're afraid. The other night at our house, about 10 o'clock, Connie and I were sitting there watching TV, about ready to go to bed, and our doorbell rang. That's not the first time. It's happened about four or five different times, or three or four different times, at 10 o'clock at night. Connie says, "Don't you go to the door." Of course, I didn't. And everything that's been happening throughout our neighborhood, now whether that's a prank or somebody or whatever happening, just a few couple of years ago in our subdivision, which is a nice subdivision, we live next to the clubhouse in our subdivision, we heard two what sounded like firecrackers out there. And being a little bit of police in me, only from a son and a chaplain of Cobb County, I thought to myself, that's not firecracker, that's gunshot. And in fact, right outside my house, a gun was fired twice at a person less than 10 foot from my house. We don't live in a safe environment anymore. We're afraid. We lock these doors up. We lock these doors inside this building. We lock up everything else in this church. We're card accessible wherever you go in this place. There are 30 cameras that record you no matter where you go. We've got that taken care of because we don't feel safe anymore. We have a message that we can bring to this world. Don't be afraid. God will see to it. If all of us, including this preacher, could learn that, don't be afraid. God will take care of it. Doesn't mean then defend yourself when there's danger around. Just, God's in control, ladies and gentlemen. He's on His throne. He's never left His throne. He's not going to leave His throne. He is involved in everything we are. Gabriel told Mary, don't be afraid. Because He said something to her that was about to blow her away. One more scripture about that one point before I move on. I love 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Don't you be afraid. Jesus is Lord. Rejoice. Remember? Don't be afraid, the angel said. And the third thing he said to Mary, you will have a son. You will have a son. In verses 31 through 33, and behold, you'll conceive in your womb, bring forth the son, and you will call his name Jesus. Not only did she get the news that God had favored her, she was going to become the birth mother of Jesus. You'll call his name Jesus. He will be great, the Bible says. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his David. He will reign over the house of Jacob. And he says, of his kingdom, it will never end. Many kingdoms have come and gone in the course of human history. But Christ's kingdom will never end. The Son was going to be God's Son. Mary's Son, the only begotten of God. God was going to leave heaven, empty heaven completely of Himself, incarnate Himself in the form of man through Mary. And just like John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came. Emmanuel, God is with us. Now Mary's 14. Gabriel showed up. That's enough. And now the angel of God, that messenger, the word angel in Greek, by the way, is angelos or angelos. It's simply translated messenger. So Gabriel was God's messenger who was sent, yes. But he's telling Mary that I want you to know something, Mary. You're going to have a child, but this is going to be a God thing. God is going to see to it. God is going to do it. She didn't understand. She didn't ask a whole lot of questions. Mary just trusted the angel and trusted God and knew that God was in control. Little Mary just had simple, simple faith. That's what we need to hear this Advent season. In a world that's in chaos, in a world where death is rampant, I'm standing before to tell you something this morning that I know every one of you already know, but God is in control.
Amen. Wow.
Just have the simple faith and trust of Mary. Doesn't require but just an itty bit. Just an itty bit. A little bit of faith. Simple, simple faith. Wow. But Mary's humility is overwhelming. To be chosen as the birth mother of Jesus. But Gabriel announced to her that what was about to happen was a God thing. God was doing. So Jesus Christ is Lord, folks. Rejoice. Don't be afraid. God is in control. And then Gabriel said one final thing to Mary. He said, nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible. Verse 37. And then Mary said in verse 38, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. And the angel departed from her. The point of the scripture is this. The birth of Jesus was God's intentional act that God would become man. That's an impossible thing. How can you and I, with our finite mind, understand the infinite? We never will. But Gabriel made sure Mary would understand when he referred to her kinswoman Elizabeth, who was too old to have a child, that now was 6 months pregnant with the forerunner of the Messiah, John himself. And God's action was about to become reality in the life of Mary. An impossible task, but it was going to be a God thing. What about today? What about in your life? So much of the time, we're all guilty of living defeated lives as children of God because deep, deep down, we really don't believe God can or will accomplish the impossible in our lives. The promise to both Zechariah and to Mary that God would do the impossible with Elizabeth and God would do the impossible with Mary. Why? They believed God. At this Advent season, do you believe God will accomplish the impossible in your life? Do you truly believe and trust Him that in His time He will and can accomplish the impossibility? You know, yes or no is a good answer, but the hardest answer you and I get, at least for me, is the word wait. Waiting on God's timing. I went back and picked up just a few scriptures about that. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, he says. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord, you know this one, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Folks, wait on the Lord this Christmas season and watch him accomplish the impossible in your life. So here's what Gabriel said. Jesus is Lord. So he said to Mary, you rejoice. Because Jesus is Lord and I'm telling you to rejoice, don't be afraid, Mary. Because Jesus is Lord and I'm telling you to rejoice, don't be afraid. Always know, Mary, God is in control. Don't you ever forget, nothing shall be impossible with God. I believe if Gabriel could stand in this spot today, he would look out to all of us in this room and those of us who listen to this by way of CD, and we'd tell every one of us, I know I'm not talking to Mary, Gabriel would say. I'm talking to the folks in attendance on November the 27th, 2011 at Olive Springs Baptist Church. And Gabriel would look at you just like I'm looking you eye to eye in this house. And he would say to you folks, at this Advent season, rejoice. Make it evident. Rejoice. Understand the joy that only God can bring. That's a spiritual gift. God's the author of joy, not man. And then he'd look to us and he'd say, folks, don't you be afraid. Why? Because God is in control. He will see to everything in your life. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going through. He is actively involved in everything that every one of us in this room is facing. Understand, rejoice, and don't be afraid. And then when Gabriel told Mary she would have a son, it was going to be a God thing. I want you to understand something this Christmas season, this Advent season. God will accomplish in your life what God wants to accomplish through you. Just let Him. Wherever you go this Advent season, just let Him. And then Gabriel would say to all of us in here, don't you ever forget, my Father is in the miracle working business. He can make the impossible possible. You know, one of the hardest prayers, folks, we have to pray is, Lord, whatever you want, I want. Because we realize the consequences of praying that kind of prayer. But that's the way we must pray. And throughout this Christmas season, let's make that our goal. Let's make that to know what Gabriel said in every way. Rejoice. Don't be afraid. God is in control. And trust that nothing this Christmas season or ever shall be impossible with God. And then I return to the scripture where we began this service as Matthew read it. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. To God be the glory. Let's pray.